The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. We're just here trying to earn our keep. That's all we're doing.
Eking out a living.
Welcome to Red Eye Radio for Monday. Gary, how are you? How was your weekend? It didn't blow me away. Brian Regan and Seinfeld on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, they have a hilarious bit on that. Like, imagine you bought some defective dynamite. How was the dynamite? Didn't blow me away.
No, it was a good weekend.
Yeah,
it was good. Accomplished a lot. So that was stuff around the house.
Well, it makes one of us.
Just that time of the year. But
yeah,
I don't even know where to start today. I have to tell you. I mean, I just you probably heard me going through a bunch of different audio cuts, and I'm like, I don't know where to begin. I mean, it's just everything was just like. Well, I guess you could begin with the Wall Street Journal report on the COVID lab leak theory.
Yeah, it appears that now that is the most likely theory.
Yes.
And if that report is accurate, I guess here's my question.
With low confidence.
Yeah, with low confidence.
But then I saw New York Post had moderate confidence in quotes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost as if, okay, we're being dragged over here, and we now believe it's most likely with low confidence. Well, then what's the confidence in the natural?
Yeah, I mean, that's it, because
the natural theory.
The Fox News Alert says most likely and also says low confidence. Well, if it's low confidence,
why is it most likely?
Because what they'll do in a room is they'll say, okay, apply the percentage. What do you think?
Right.
And then they'll go around the room, 95%, 80%. Does this mean 10%? What does low confidence mean in a case like this when you're assessing something so critical? Because this at this point now, this is going to be the question, the whole new set of questions for Jean-Pierre on Monday.
Well, it's going to be a zoo just going through all the different audio and, the audio from the Sunday morning news shows.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, whoa. And I think one of the question on, well, this is the interesting thing that on, I think it was on this week, was it this week or which one was it now? Yeah, it was this week.
Mm.
Where they were still asking about the Chinese spy balloon.
Yeah, right.
And actually, it was a good question.
Mm.
You know, well, did you recalibrate the radar? Or, so now you're not shooting everything down? Or they
right.
actually, I'll
right.
play the audio coming up. But it was
right.
Okay, so you're, uh, You're not shooting anything down now, so you've recalibrated the radar so you know they're weather balloons. Nah, the head of NORAD said we haven't recalibrated any radar.
We haven't really made any changes.
It's like, oh, my God. And then Biden being interviewed, I guess, was at ABC. Mm. Did an interview, with him and, did their survey that showed 41% of people now have less money in their pocket.
Right. Yeah.
And are feeling down, and only 16% say they have more money. And it's like, why? And just giving the normal thing that, well, you know, they watch TV, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no good news on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything is bad, and so they just feel bad. But it's just TV. Yeah.
Right. If people just quit talking about feeling bad, they won't feel. Gary, there is no recession coming. There is no inflation. If you quit talking about inflation, there won't be inflation.
Well, and then you had the
that's how they think it works.
Then you had the inflation, the consumer spending inflation indicator,
mm-hmm.
which they went, oh God, no. I mean, that was really it on Friday. It was like, mm-hmm. oh no,
mm-hmm.
where do we go? And now you're talking. Now I'm hearing even on CNBC. I think it was Larry Kudlow even mentioning, well, 6%'s the minimum, 7% we would have to go to. In order to get to where we want. And the fear is now, and you saw that in the markets on Friday, the fear is now, this is exactly what happened in the 70s, where we had inflation, you know, over a basically a 2% margin. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had high inflation for almost a decade, almost 10 years.
Right.
And, you know, you look at some of the, then new budget numbers are out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're talking about you look at the spending and the CBO now coming out with their, and remember, their numbers are always the most conservative numbers, and it's through the roof.
Yeah.
And so we have to borrow more.
Right.
And, you know, they were looking at the infrastructure and the other plan that had to come out last year. They're saying that'll add $3 trillion to the debt. We're not paying for any damn thing right now.
No.
It's just debt, 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 debt.
Mm-hmm.
And then the survey came out. That's why I said I don't even know where to start today. Not the survey, but the study came out on the grid again, and it's like, oh boy,
yeah,
we're doing the wrong thing. We're doing the wrong thing. We shouldn't be shutting down all these consistent forms of energy and relying on solar and wind. It's not going to work. I mean, from the debt to electricity. I mean, it doesn't matter. And it's like. Politicians don't care. There's nothing on there. You don't hear. Not even the Republicans are coming. They should be pounding on this every day.
Oh, this should be because they're just basically, it's a gift that arrives at their door every day.
Yeah. And the grid.
And they should be all over it.
Because this is about, you know, heating your homes.
Yeah. Maintaining life.
Sustaining
life. Yeah,
maintaining quality of life. Sustaining life. And it's like, okay, everybody knows it's out there. It's like, but whatever. Until it happens. And then when it happens, people freak out.
Yeah.
And we saw when it happened in Texas 2 years ago right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And then even Beto O'Rourke. I'm about consistent energy with solar and wind.
With solar and wind, yes.
Exactly.
More of what caused the problem right. in the first place.
I'm like, where the hell is he? He disappears quickly, doesn't he? You don't hear a thing.
Well, you know, if this were back in the 70s, he would probably be on a game show like Match Game. Former lawmaker. Former Democratic rock star. Beto right. ran, but he couldn't run to blank.
All right, you've got two X's there, Paul Lynn and Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Hollywood Squares. Yeah.
Oh, my. And so, it's just the inflation numbers, but it seemed like the media is still completely and totally obsessed as, why aren't you going? Why aren't you going to East Palestine? Why aren't you going? Why aren't you going? Well, everybody else has been there. And then he couldn't remember if he talked to the mayor. Over the weekend. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember if I talked to the mayor.
I talked to everybody else. But
I talked to important people.
God.
Makes it seem like he's sitting in an office and they just put him on the phone with someone down the hall. They just, you know, some staffers just, hey, just pretend like you're there on the ground so he can just say he talked to somebody.
And then the New York Times had that story talking about because the migrant children and the in the United States right now that have to work to pay off the cartel debt.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Times had the story.
Yeah.
And it was one of the headlines, migrant children work brutal jobs. They don't go to school. Talking about young teenagers.
Yeah.
That are migrant, that now, you know, have been allowed in the country, mm-hmm. and they're paying off the cartel debt.
That's right.
I mean, it's just.
And I'm sure at some point you can actually get to the point where you owe the cartel nothing, right?
Yeah. Oh, and then the Republicans and Ronna McDaniel on one of the Sunday morning news shows announced that the 2024 presidential candidates, Republican, will likely have to pledge to support the winner in the general election or they'll be kept out of the primary debates. That's a way to take your focus off the issues.
Yeah, great.
Who's the best on the issues?
Awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Trump, will you support DeSantis?
Mm-hmm.
DeSantis, will you support Trump? If you won't answer that question and say you will in the correct way, you cannot be part of the debates. Now, look, you can set the rules you want, but a way to hand over the primary season,
yeah,
to the only focus from the media, which will be, well, a lot of people may not be in the debates or they won't be in the debates because you must pledge allegiance to the Republican candidate, whoever it is, instead of talking about the issues and letting the Republican Party decide on the issues. It's like, nope, you must support.
Yeah, way to Chris Wallace your own set of primary debates.
Yeah.
Months ahead of time. We're not even to March yet, and they've decided they're going to go ahead and throw a Chris Wallace move in.
Yeah. Oh, good. Let's make it an issue that Democrats were obsessed with in 2020.
Right. Right.
And now let's let the Republican Party obsess
with it. And now we'll own it completely.
Well, you know something? I don't care if it doesn't affect me as a voter.
No.
I don't care if Trump supports DeSantis. I don't care if DeSantis supports Trump. I don't care if Trump supports Nikki Haley or Nikki Haley supports Trump. Or whoever else decides to get in. I was going to say Marianne Williamson, but she's on the other side.
Yeah. I don't care if Ted Cruz decides he is going to get in after all and says, vote your conscience or Marianne Williamson. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I'm just
you know, lying. It's, you know, here's the thing is that, the Ted Cruz thing in 2016 did not work out for Ted Cruz. And there was evidence of that because a couple of things. He clearly wasn't going to get the nomination at that convention for the GOP. But there were a number of things, actually, not just two. Secondly, he was answering phones for Trump, what, about 4 weeks later? He was actually campaigning for Trump. And then in 2018, when he ran against Beto, he didn't do as well as he should have. And that's likely because a lot of them still had a lot of voters in Texas, likely still had that bad taste in their mouth. Look, I don't, and it didn't bother me that he said that at the convention. He's not the nominee, and his endorsement, or the opposite of an endorsement, of the nominee doesn't make any difference as to whether or not I'm going to vote for the nominee.
I think my favorite of all time, because, you know, Chris Christie has been, you know, he's gone after Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget the imagery of him behind Trump. Remember that when Trump got the nomination?
Yeah.
And it was almost like he was his... the only word I can come up with is from the Christmas Story, his toady.
Yeah. Well, you know that campaign stop in the hangar. Go get back on your plane there, Chris. Oh, my gosh.
That was the one. It was so bad. He looked, Christy looked so weak.
Yeah, no,
he
it
really
horrible.
Did. It was horrible. Really, it was really, really bad.
It was really bad.
Like I said, there's just so many things to talk about, but I just wonder, is Biden ever going to go to East Palestine? Will he finally feel the pressure? Because they were not, when he was walking to the helicopter over the weekend, that's the only thing they were throwing out at him.
Yeah.
You're going to go. Hey, everybody's been there. We know everybody's been there. It's not, don't answer the question with something we know. Are you going to go?
Well, and again, one more thing that he's botched completely, his response to it. And what do you do if you go? Now he's going, and it will be, well, after political pressure was put on him.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be the case, and everyone will be criticizing him, and rightly so, for showing up only because he was pressured to do so. Yeah. But that was always going to be the case. If you watch the botched exit of Afghanistan, you know that. Well, he couldn't be bothered to come off his vacation. He was busy hiding documents at his beach house and or moving them over to his main house, one or the other, or both, and then he comes back off vacation, says something, turns his back, and walks away. And then he was pressured again to do a sit-down interview that same week. You know, this is who the guy is. He doesn't care about East Palestine or anything else going on domestically. He cares about Joe Biden.
And then Manchin was asked if he's a Democrat, and he said he's he's an American.
Yeah.
He can't even answer that.
That's not a yes.
Well, he isn't officially turned yet.
Nope.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tires command a lot of attention. As a top expense for drivers and a leading cause of CSA violations, any tire maintenance practice that can help extend tire life is worth consideration. Consider tire balancing, which can set you up for savings and a smoother ride before your tires touch the highway. Tire balancing and wheel alignment are different services, but both contribute to a smoother ride and should accompany tire replacements or repairs. Tire balancing corrects an uneven distribution of weight in tires and wheel assemblies, providing improved vehicle handling, increased fuel economy, and the overall lifespan of your tires. Balancing your tires also helps keep vehicle hardware like cab rivets tight, and can help with the resale value of your vehicle.
This report is brought to you by Shell Rotella.
Shell Rotella, with advanced synthetic technology, is designed to help keep your rig running with more mileage and less maintenance.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
And the latest on that, we got tons of audio today, and some of the stuff we have audio on, we already talked about last week, but the Sunday morning news shows had to cover it, including Martha Raddatz and ABC's Terry Moran on the grand jury foreman in Georgia, where Martha Raddatz asked Terry Moran, the first question was, did she break any rules? He says no, because the judge says that he could talk, and then he went off. This is just great. Here we go.
Well, no formal rules, since the judge had said you can't talk to reporters, and that is a grand juror's right. Please, the judge said, don't damage the investigation. But that's what she just did.
Yeah.
And she beclowned herself, for one thing, in the argot of the time. She looked like a fool, like somebody looking for their 15 minutes, and damaged the investigation. Because this is no way to run a popsicle stand, much less a grand jury investigation of the former president of the United States.
Yeah.
In one of the biggest cases, you know, in Georgia history, she's created a nightmare for the prosecutor who may bring charges, for the judge who's going to preside over any trials, and just given a gift to all the defendants, Donald Trump, if he is indicted, and others as well.
Yeah, there you go. I said it last week. The only reason you do that is you're looking for your 15, and that's the more I see. And because it's just gone viral, it's just bizarre. It is a train wreck.
You know, I was watching some more of the video over the weekend and just laughing. And the first thought that came to my mind is, you know, she could be part of the Biden administration.
I would love for her to take Jean-Pierre's job.
Yeah, she could.
That would be so much fun. You know, where she just goes out and says, "No, this is the thing, guys. This is the thing," with a weird look on her face. Can't quit smiling. That's just weird,
man. Can't wait for the new movie, Valley Girl, jury foreperson.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com. and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letter CPRedEye. Red Eye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
You're a threat to democracy if you don't download our app, Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. I want to go to, this was the State of the Union, and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan was on and asked the question about did COVID leak from a Chinese lab.
Oh, I want to ask about a new Wall Street Journal report out this morning that a classified intelligence report from the Department of Energy concludes that the coronavirus pandemic most likely did not emerge naturally, but it did come from a laboratory leak. Did the coronavirus pandemic start in a lab? Is that what you believe now?
Well, Dana, there is a variety of views in the intelligence community. Some elements of the intelligence community have reached conclusions on one side, some on the other. A number of them have said they just don't have enough information to be sure. Here's what I can tell you. President Biden has directed repeatedly every element of our intelligence community to put effort and resources behind getting to the bottom of this question. And one of the things in that Wall Street Journal report, which I can't confirm or deny, but I will say, the reference to the Department of Energy, President Biden specifically requested that the national labs, which are part of the Department of Energy, be brought into this assessment because he wants to put every tool at use to be able to figure out what happened here. And if we gain any further insider information, we will share it with Congress and we will share it with the American people. But
then why hasn't Biden ever stated that himself?
Right.
From the very beginning, that this is a huge concern, and not only are we going to have put the national labs on it, but we are going to force China to allow our investigators in there from day one.
Right. That's not a priority. It clearly hasn't been a priority for this president.
No, it has not.
And he hasn't talked about it at all.
Not at all. If it's a priority, you talk about it, and he has never talked about it. So as things start moving in the opposite direction, then you start saying, you know, for example, in inflation, when inflation got bad, oh, yeah, that's somebody else's fault. But we're working extremely hard to solve this, you know, to solve this problem that was created by somebody else.
Yeah.
It's always an excuse. And it's always, you know, that, this is a priority for what does Karine Jean-Pierre always say? Oh, I can't think of the statement that she always makes. that shows the intensity of their concern for everything out there that they're not solving.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see this when you see this here, I want to read just a couple of paragraphs because Jonathan Turley, and we've talked about him before, is a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's a Democrat. And here's what he had to say on this. And he talked about, that many will be exploring the science. He said, but for the most part, the most alarming aspect was the censorship, not the science. He goes, there's going to be debate. It's going to continue, but there'll actually be an actual debate now.
Mm-hmm.
For years, the media and government allied to treat anyone raising a lab theory as one of three possibilities, a conspiracy theorist, a racist, or a racist conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, right.
Academics join this course in marginalizing anyone raising the theory. One study cited the theory as an example of anti-Chinese racism and toxic white masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
As late as May of 2021, the New York Times Science and Health reporter was calling any mention of the lab theory as racist. She embodies the model for the new advocacy journalism. That's what they call it, advocacy journalism.
Oh, okay.
We call it, political activist.
Mm-hmm.
At the Times, reporters who remain wedded to the dated view of objective journalism were purged from the ranks of the Times long ago. She and others made clear that reporters covering the theory were COVID's little Bull Connors.
Ooh.
She tweeted wistfully, someday we will stop talking about the lab leak theory and maybe even admit its racist roots. But alas, that day is not here yet.
Mm.
However, one former New York Times science editor, Nicholas Wade, chastised his former colleagues for ignoring the obvious evidence supporting the lab theory, as well as Chinese efforts to arrest scientists and destroy evidence that could establish the origin. Others in academia quickly joined the bandwagon to assure the public that there is no scientific basis for their theory, leaving only racist or politics as the motivation behind their theory. In early 2020, with little available evidence, two op-eds in The Lancet in February and Nature Medicine went all in on the denial front. The Lancet op-ed stated, we stand together to strongly condemn conspiracy theories suggesting that COVID-19 does not have a natural origin. We were supposed to forget about massive payouts from the Chinese government to American universities and grants of some of these writers to both Chinese interest and even the specific Wuhan lab. No reference to the lab theory was to be tolerated when Senator Tom Cotton merely mentioned the possibility. In 2020, he was set upon by the usual flash media mob. The Washington Post ridiculed him of repeating a debunked coronavirus conspiracy theory. In September of 2020, Dr. Li Mengyan, a virologist and former postdoctoral fellow at the University of Hong Kong, dared to repeat the theory on Fox News. I can present solid scientific evidence that it is a man-made virus created in the lab. PolitiFact slammed her and gave her a pants on fire rating. Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Mm-hmm.
President Joe Biden accused Trump of fanning racism in his criticism of the Chinese government over the pandemic, and his administration reportedly shut down the State Department investigation into the possible lab origins of the virus. When Biden later revived an investigation into the origins, he was denounced as sugarcoating Trump's racism. The categorical rejection of the lab theory is only the latest media narrative proven to be false. The Russia collusion scandal, the Hunter Biden Russian disinformation, the Lafayette Park photo op. Remember that with the attorney general during the Trump administration? The Lafayette Park op-ed conspiracy, the Nick Sandman controversy, the Jussie Smollett case, the migrant whipping scandal, just some of them that were viewed, as we know, as disinformation across the board and all ended up with the lab leak theory, of course, being a legitimate possibility.
Right.
And the rest that the media was promoting as disinformation from the other side ended up being true across the board. On the lab theory, media like the Washington Post piled on senators like Cruz and Cotton for mentioning the lab theory, only later to admit it could be legitimate. All those experts and writers who were called racist or suspended by social media were simply forgotten in the media coverage when they had to reverse what they were saying. That is why this is really about censorship. The media guaranteed that we did not have a full debate over the origins of the virus and attacked those who had the guts to state the obvious, and there was a plausible basis for suspecting the Wuhan lab. None of this has diminished demands for more censorship, even after Twitter admitted that it wrongly blocked the New York Post story before the 2020 election. Democrat senators responded by warning the company not to cut back on censorship and even demanded more censorship. Recently, the Twitter files revealed the extensive and secret FBI effort to censor citizens on social media. This includes undisclosed efforts by members like Representative Adam Schiff to get Twitter to ban a columnist and target critics in a House hearing. Democrat leaders like Representative Jamie Raskin called for more censorship and opposed investigations into censorship efforts. These same figures in politics and media are just moving now on to the next approved narrative. President Biden previously called for more censorship and accused big tech of, quote, killing people by not censoring more views deemed COVID misinformation. But the opposite is true. By suppressing alternative scientific and policy views, the public was denied a full debate over mask efficacy, vaccine side effects, COVID origins, and other important issues. Many of those questions are only being recognized as legitimate, now being recognized as legitimate and worthy of debate. Censorship does not, as Biden claimed, save lives. It is more likely to cost lives by protecting approved views from challenge. It does not foster the truth any more than it fosters free speech. Whatever the origin of COVID-19 may be, the origins of our censorship scandal is closer at home. And that's Jonathan Turley. And let everybody know, he's a Democrat.
Well, and this is it. Look, we saw what was going on in social media. You couldn't bring it up. You couldn't talk about it. You know, the very liberal Jon Stewart goes on late night TV to talk about it and mentions it and says, you know, makes the very, I think, simple observational humor in that, I don't know, sounds legitimate to me that you have a lab where they're working with the virus and the ground zero was right there at that lab. Yeah, that sounds legit to me. And then the left media just took him to task, and on social media he was eviscerated for that. He was treated as a pariah by his own side.
Yeah.
And that was the narrative, and everybody knows it.
Well, the problem is now where it goes, because now it's, you know, it goes is if you have more of this. Well, number one, Biden again, has never proclaimed that this is an absolute necessity and that the World Health Organization, from the beginning of his presidency, should be allowed in. There was no pressure on China at all. And as you see here, who brought up the money angle? Jonathan Turley, a Democrat, brought up the money angle. All this money from China going to enrich these universities. And the money going to hundreds of millions of dollars. When you look at it overall, the money going to the Biden family and Biden interest, hundreds of millions of dollars from Chinese anonymous sources.
Mm-hmm.
And you question, you say, well, why has the Democratic Party never been interested? Instead of saying, well, look, we don't know what it is. And we stated from the very beginning, there's two competing theories. It either came naturally or it came from a lab leak, mm-hmm. one or the other.
Right.
I'm not politically tied to either. It's not about politics. It's about science and investigating where it came from.
It's about an open discussion and a concern by not just here domestically, a society, but also a global public that wants the answers.
Right. So we can stop this from happening again. And if we're doing dangerous work at these labs, and then again, when you got into Fauci and how he tried to ride the line about what gain of function is. But in doing so, he let it know that we actually funded this kind of research.
Right.
Whether you want to call it gain of function or whether you want to call it messing around with viruses to see what you can create.
Right.
Whatever you want to call it, we did it.
Yep.
That we know. It's just, are you going to call it gain of function or not? And Rand Paul got that part out of him.
Yeah, there was clear manipulation in the lab of this virus, and we paid for it. And these are the, you know, ultimately, why wouldn't that be a, right out of the gate, your number one concern to find the answers as to the origins of this?
Right.
And to stop, to make sure, at the very least, we're not participating in that kind of behavior in labs.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
Earn personalized savings on commercial truck insurance with Smart Haul from Progressive. Learn.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Cronin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. When you look back and you think that it was really 3 years ago right now where the whole COVID thing started.
Yeah.
And according to the CDC, whether you believe the numbers or not, 1.13 million people in the United States have died. And there has been no interest in the media. Think about that. There's been no interest in the media at all. In the mainstream media, until really forced to discuss this, and there was massive censorship promoted by the government to social media, and there was massive demonization of those who said, wait a minute, everything's a theory here. Why isn't this theory possible?
Right. Why isn't there an open discussion? The media was intent on making it about one versus the other. Why can't we explore both and get the answers?
Yep.
You couldn't do that with the media.
Top of the Hour News is brought to you by Howes Products. Visit HowesProducts.com.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. Listen when and where you want, if you can't listen live overnight. So yeah, that's when you break it down, and you and I were talking about the story on the Chinese lab leak and the Energy Department coming out and saying most likely it came from a lab leak with either low to moderate confidence. I'm not sure which one is right because I've seen two different quotes in there, and nobody's actually seen the document because it's classified.
Right.
But it was just chuckling when I first read that. Well, with low confidence. Well, then what's the confidence? If you're saying most likely from the lab, well, then what's your confidence level in the natural? But what, again, the science is one thing, but the story here, and I believe Jonathan Turley is absolutely right, is the censorship. And when you go through all the stories.
Right. Yeah.
that when you get through all what the Democrats, the whole push, when you think about it, for the government to control disinformation, the entire thing was based on a couple of stories.
Yeah.
It was based on Hunter Biden's laptop story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was based on Russia collusion.
Right.
And it was based on disinformation from COVID, which actually was not disinformation. All of those, none of those. When you look at the Russia collusion, that was Hillary Clinton.
Right.
That was a Hillary Clinton campaign. The only ones that colluded with the Russians because of Danchenko was the Hillary campaign.
Right.
That was it. Nobody else, nobody in the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians.
Right.
The Hillary Clinton campaign colluded with the Russians because of Iggy Danchenko, part in it, former Russian national with ties to Russian intelligence. Mm-hmm. What ties? I don't know, but we're going from the Democrat standard of what dictates Russia collusion.
Right.
And
they were the ones bringing the charges against Trump.
Right.
That he was colluding with the Russians. So right. If they're going to set the table as such, then you have to look at Danchenko as
exactly.
as a Russian contact.
Well, because their whole thing was it's Russia collusion because of the meeting at Trump Tower.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah, with a Russian lawyer, Veselnitskaya.
It has nothing to do with Chinese intelligence.
Right.
And so, I mean, it just was, when you think about it, the whole push to stop disinformation was based on censoring the truth. And they're still pushing for it now.
Yeah.
And in the case of the lab leak theory, getting to the truth. Only this theory will be allowed. This theory will not. And you and I questioned it from day one. Well, this, and then they would say, oh, the Republicans are trying to make it political. You need to shut them up. No, they're theories.
Yep.
So if everything's a theory, well, no, that's a conspiracy theory, and that's a racist conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
That's the one I love.
Right.
It was either racist or a conspiracy theory or a racist conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you dare say Chinese balloon now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that when you put it into perspective and you say, all right, Democrats, you're the ones that have promoted how many people have died in the United States from COVID, over 1 million. And yet you have done everything, the Democratic Party and the media did everything. Everything to block Americans from finding out what the truth was. And they demonized any American who attempted to get to the truth of the origin of COVID so it wouldn't happen again. And I hope Republicans are loud on it this week. Saying, why have the Democrats and the media, why did they push so hard on something that they didn't know? They had no idea.
Right.
They had no idea.
Right.
I had no idea. I still don't have any idea. But the fact is.
And that's the whole point is that I don't know. There may have been a few. I didn't see it. But there may have been a few people out there that said it definitely. They were coming to a conclusion saying it definitely was leaked from the lab.
Mm-hmm.
It was the broader conversation was, did it? And because the reason there are, in fact, a number of reasons why that's so important, the lab leak theory. Our money went into the manipulation of that virus in that lab.
Right.
Call it whatever you want. It was manipulation of the virus. If you're saying because, you know, the 2021 Biden commissioned report that came out basically did nothing. It said nothing. Just said, yeah, we don't know. And we may never know. But if you're telling me that our taxpayer dollars went to that effort and we don't have any knowledge as to how it went down and what was going on in that lab. Now you've added to the problem, in my opinion, because now you're telling me we're paying for something that we can't control and we don't know the end result of. We don't have, you're telling me we don't have, I know how China works. I get it. But you're telling me they took our money, but we don't get to know exactly what happened.
And there was no push from the Biden administration to pressure the Chinese to let all the investigators have as much access as they want, because at, you know, at that time when he became president, we were in the hundreds of thousands that had died, and now it's over a million.
Yeah, right.
Over a million Americans, and there seems to be no caring to actually go to the Chinese, you know, to sit there and say, we want our labs to guess.
Yeah, right.
All right, intelligence agencies, give us your best guess on this. Well, you're the politician. What are you? You're the United States president. Are you at all in discussions with the Chinese? Were you ever in discussions with the Chinese, or went after the Chinese for what they did in hiding what was going on at the lab? Why did you do that? Oh, you received hundreds of millions of dollars from the Chinese.
Oh.
Sorry, that comes into it. Every decision concerning the Chinese, including the balloon thing,
yeah,
has to go back to, has the president been compromised? And as you saw, reporters are now asking that question.
Anonymous donors for his University of Pennsylvania office.
Yep.
Chinese donors. All of these things now are interconnected. And they're all of them are locked together because of that one question. Is the current president compromised? And thanks to the media for finally using that word. We've been using it for months. Right. But this is the question that everybody should be asking. Is he making decisions in a different way? Is he behaving in a different way because he's compromised at all as president of the United States?
Can you remember one Democrat over the last, since this first came up, and I think, didn't it first come up like May of 2020? When they started asking, where did this come from?
Yeah.
When did Cotton bring it up?
Was it that summer?
Maybe it was the summer of 2020 when it was first brought up, and we said, well, if we don't know, well then, you know, we're doing research there. We're funding research. Are you funding gain of function? No. Oh, and then a whole ton of doctors said, well, you actually are funding gain of function. Well, no, we changed the definition. I don't give a damn whether you change the definition
of what
gain of function is. Was United States dollars going to manipulate a virus that could cause this to happen? Is that possible?
Right.
And the intelligence agencies now believe, with more confidence than the natural theory,
right,
that yes, it did.
Right.
And all we want to get is to the truth, because a million Americans died. And there isn't, I don't know, one major Democrat over the last 2.5 years since this was first brought up that ever said, well, I'm interested to know where it came from, too.
Mm-hmm.
When the gain of function research came up, it was only Republicans that went after Fauci to find out what the hell did we fund. And then you got into the semantics over the definition of gain of function.
Right.
But Democrats didn't care to find out the truth on this. They never cared about the truth. A million Americans died. Over a million Americans died. Still Americans are dying. And the Democrats have no curiosity as to what the cause of it was. Why?
Because it was a huge political tool that they could use all day to control people's behavior. It's the perfect crisis. What better than a global pandemic that you can sit and tell people and point to it and say, nope, we can measure this. The one thing they couldn't do with climate change was accurately measure things and predict things. They need a global crisis, and a pandemic was it. we can manipulate and we can regulate all day long. Did they believe it? No. Governor Newsom proved that, I don't know how many times, very openly. He didn't buy the fact that it was a dangerous virus. He's sitting there yucking it up, drinking wine at a table, closely seated with, what, a dozen people?
William, there's a ton of questions to be answered about COVID, that things weren't allowed to be talked about. The efficacy of masks, as
right.
you just brought up.
Right.
The fact now, the Lancet, the medical journal just admitted, what, 2 weeks ago, oh, okay, you're just as well protected if you get it. And that
right.
wasn't the case
right.
Back then. The fact that the vaccine you know, protects you from getting it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
right.
we know that was
you build immunity.
All these...
Remember when herd immunity was a far right wing conspiracy?
Yeah. Yeah. Think about this. Every single major issue of COVID, the media and the Democrats attempted to hide.
Right.
Why?
And now that it's behind us
and
everybody knows the truth. They come out, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it could be the lab leak. Oh, yeah, no, you're right. The masks didn't really do anything. Oh, yeah, no, there could have been herd immunity and, at the very least, individual immunity built by the fact that you got the virus. No, those things are all true now.
Yeah. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Surviving and thriving as an owner-operator has just as much to do with managing costs as it does with generating revenue. Like the chief financial officer of any company, you have to be concerned about rising costs, especially without increases in revenue. Trying to reduce costs, let alone make sense of them, can be a complicated task. Understanding basic principles of operating costs can save you thousands of dollars a year. A penny saved could be $1,000 earned. Saving just one penny per mile over 100,000 miles driven annually will deliver $1,000 to the bottom line at the end of the year. Owner-Operator Business 101 is provided by Shell Rotella. Shell Rotella, with advanced synthetic technology, is designed to help keep your rig running with more mileage and less maintenance.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Interesting, we went back and looked at the history, and it was February of 2020
yeah.
that Tom Cotton actually brought up the fact that the Wuhan lab was just a few miles from the wet market and said, we have to look into the possibility.
Right.
And he was viewed as a conspiracy theorist, and that was... What, February 17th?
February 17th, the
2020.
The Washington Post. Tom Cotton keeps repeating a coronavirus fringe theory that scientists have disputed.
Yeah, so.
And, again, this was before we were fully shut down. Think about that.
Yeah, yeah, because we shut down. I remember I traveled March 8th.
And that was pretty much the end, right around that first week of March.
That was the end because by the time we got to the 10th or 11th, it was the Tuesday of that week where, remember, our company, we woke up and our company said, you have to do your show from home. Remember that?
Right.
We said, now we're doing it here.
and he even said this in this letter that they cite in this article from February of 2020. Cotton wrote, we don't know where it originated, and we have to get to the bottom of it. We also know that just a few miles away from that food market, the wet market that everybody, which is the other theory that it came from the wet market, is China's only biosafety level 4 super laboratory that researches human infectious diseases. So, you know, those are the things, and he repeated that comment on Sunday Morning Futures that week on Fox News. And so he's looking at it, and he's saying, at that time, Tom Cotton was saying, we don't know, but he's doing the same thing that John Stewart, when was that? And was it 21 or early 22? When he said on Colbert, hey, you got to, you know, look at the fact that there's a lab there working with that virus. just a couple of miles away from the wet market, and right there at ground zero, the first patient known of the coronavirus. He was basically doing the whole thing. Is it me? Of course you have to entertain that theory.
Wow. June 15th, 2021.
Yeah. Which is still fairly early for a liberal to be saying that on another liberal's late night talk show.
Remember, Colbert looked like he was horrified.
Oh, yeah, he did.
When he brought that up.
Right. No, I mean, and so when you look at it, the timeline of that is pretty, you know, Tom Cotton was on that early. You look at Rand Paul and his back and forth with Fauci in those hearings. All these things were critical, but again, the media was being dismissive of it, and you were, and again, they used the word fringe,
right.
Fringe theory. Why is it fringe? Why is it fringe at all? Because one of the things they did here in the Washington Post is that they tried to link it to, okay, this was deliberately released as a bioweapon, right? They kind of, that theory, they attached it to that theory. That's not where Tom Cotton was going. Tom Cotton was saying, we don't know, but the one thing we need to do is look at this lab where they were working with this virus.
And if I was president of the United States and somebody said that, I would have said, we don't know. We're
right.
Looking into all possibilities.
Right.
I don't know if that's fringe.
Right.
I don't know where it came from.
Right.
And so we as at the beginning, I mean, it was the Trump administration, but we're talking about Biden now. The first thing he should have said was, you know, we go in and we look for it. Because remember, he stopped the State Department from doing the investigation when he became president.
Right.
And then revived it later on when
it,
okay, this might actually be a possibility.
Right.
But, you know, but he didn't really publicize at all and state, because the thing is, it's important that, yes, we have all of our intelligence agencies look at all this,
right.
But it's also critically important that the president of the United States tells China, you let our investigators in there.
Right.
Hundreds of thousands of our people, now over a million died, and you're not cooperating with us, and this global pandemic came, you know, from that specific area. You know, we believe there's a possibility it could come from there. We're looking at all possibilities. You let us in. At least proclaim that and put the pressure on. This president did absolutely nothing.
And it is
on that level.
And it's, again, one more thing that he has botched that's tied together with his connection and his son's connection to China.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Get a word in edgewise. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Oh, I know what it was. I couldn't think of the phrase that Karine Jean-Pierre always uses and may use tomorrow when they say, so the Energy Department is saying that it most likely came from a lab and not a natural source. What do you have to say about that? Well, the president takes this extremely seriously. That's what it is.
Yeah.
He takes
it
very seriously. Right. Yeah. He takes it very seriously. Very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want to play these audio cuts.
All right.
Because when we read the Democrats correctly, we want to brag a little bit about it.
Yeah. Why not?
And you and I were talking about that the politics of the president not going to East Palestine. And we will first play this audio cut. And this is, again, Terry Moran from This Week. Here we go.
the train derailment in East Palestine. Mistake for him not to go? Should he go now? Is it too late?
He should go. This is an extraordinary event, not just for the people of East Palestine, but it has come to stand for something bigger in the country. And Democrats do have something to say to large forces, large corporate forces exploiting people in rural America. They're losing on the cultural issues, but as Bernie Sanders and some others have demonstrated, they can connect on that. And he left that trick on the table for Donald Trump to come in and say, I'm your guy, even though it was the Trump administration which changed the regulations, which helped perhaps to contribute to this event.
That's a lie. And he knew it when he said it.
Yep.
By the way, he knew. But that's how desperate. But notice he said exactly what we said last week. This is such a huge political issue to talk about these, you know, billionaire companies that are screwing over. And he added something. The rural citizen out there is being screwed over by big business. And this is another example of it. And it's exactly what we said on top of, you know, they're being screwed over environmentally by big companies. And it's a perfect, it fits perfectly with, you know, where the Democrats have been for the longest time. Now, as we said last week, every single thing, there isn't one thing. I'll read here from National Review. Further investigation will shine a light on whether a wayside device regulation should change, whether railroad car inspection standards are sufficient, and whether the decision to vent and burn the chemicals was the right one. It will not shine a light on whether the government should mandate paid sick leave for rail workers, protect union jobs from automation, or require expensive braking systems that make it more costly to transport fossil fuels. But that is where the Department of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, mind is, and progressive interest groups are thrilled. Not one part of the Department of Transportation's proposed policy response to the accident would have prevented the accident, and plenty of it is completely unrelated. In other words, it's much like progressives' response to mass shootings, calling for the same police policies they wanted anyway, regardless of whether they would be effective. And that's exactly, you know, Terry Moran, when he said that, that was Sunday.
Yeah.
He already knew. He already saw the NTSB report.
Right.
He knows that he knows it has nothing to do with the Trump administration whatsoever, but he had to say it. But that's because the left understands the political damage being done by the president not going, and they're furious at him. So who do they take it out on? Well, we could criticize Trump, and now we can't do it, even if Trump has nothing to do with it. I want to play NBC's Kristen Welker. This was on Meet the Press yesterday.
But I have to tell you, privately, some allies of the president are concerned that he hasn't been there yet, and they're saying he needs to go. But I've pressed them over and over again. Are there any plans for the president to go? And they say there are no conversations about that. They reiterate what you just said. We were on the ground within 2 hours of this crisis happening. We've gotten all the resources there that are needed. And I do think big picture, there's a question. Optics are important when you're dealing with a crisis like this. There's no doubt about that. We learned that during Hurricane Katrina, for example. The question is, will this backfire on President Biden if he doesn't go?
There you go.
Yep.
She said, her sources in the campaign said the discussion has not come up.
Uh-huh.
They're lying to you, Kristen.
That's a lie.
They're lying. I think, and I don't know if we've discussed this. We've discussed this character trait about the president.
Mm.
I can almost guarantee when he was over there in Ukraine, that's all he got.
That's all he was getting from back home.
What the mayor was saying,
Yep.
So the way that this president reacts is if you tell him he has to do something, he's going to tell you, no, I'm not going to do it. No matter what.
Right. No, he's going to be defiant at every turn.
Right.
That's the nature of who he is.
Because Democrats can't understand why he won't go.
No, this is what
why won't he go?
I honestly believe there's a total internal battle on every single front because of what we just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that internally that you tell him, well, Mr. President, you need to call the mayor. I'm not calling the mayor, Jack. He should call me. That's who he is.
You tell him to do something, he'll do the opposite.
He'll do the opposite. Mr. President, the optics on this are bad. The optics are fine. We got people on the ground there, man. You know the thing. I mean, this is exactly who he is, and I honestly do believe.
I can't remember if I talked to the mayor.
Right.
He actually said that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't remember if I talked to the mayor. You don't remember if you talked to the... I talked to, you know, the important people.
Talked to everybody else.
Yeah. And those are the, you know, those are the moments where it tells me over and over again that internally, because, and another key is that, and clue is that he comes out and he says, well, they told me I can't talk about this, and I can't. Yep. What are they telling you you should be talking about is my question. What are they telling you you should be doing that you're not doing? Oh, man, I want that book. For the first time ever, if there's a political insider book that I will buy and read, it will be that one, the person that writes the book that says, every time we told him to do something, he refused to do it. Regardless of how politically 101, very basic it was.
And this is driving the media crazy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
Kristen Welker said it. The optics matter. You and I said it last week, but we called it. I mean, we called it exactly.
No, that's...
When I saw those two audio cuts, I went, wow, look at Terry Moran. You know, there's so much that we could be promoting. Large corporations, in environment, screwing over the rural person.
Yeah.
You know, you could just tell and then bring up Trump's responsibility, which, it could possibly be that, and he knew by that time, because the NTSB, that was Sunday morning, we knew the NTSB had come out with it, because we, on Thursday, because we had it for you on Thursday night, Friday morning show.
Right.
What the NTSB said, and we said at the time, anything that Buttigieg says was the problem had nothing to do with why this train derailed.
Right.
It was just, give us a liberal wish list so we can spend money. Mm-hmm. And Terry Moran knew that.
Yep.
So he was lying.
Yeah.
He knew that Trump deregulation had nothing to do
yep.
with that train crash.
Yep. They knew it. And this is what it comes down to, is that the president isn't going to be proactive because he honestly doesn't care. And when you tell him, I believe internally, when you tell him, you need to go out here and do this, you need to go out here and do that,
he's going to say no.
Because here's the thing. What they're telling him, think about this. What they're likely advising him on is responses, okay? Responding to the derailment. Responding to the document thing, responding to the balloon thing. We're not talking about going in and you know, from day one on the agenda and, you know, 5 million executive orders and you know, and getting the agenda done and going in saying, okay, these are the things I'm going to do. These are the everyday things that pop up as a president you have to respond to. As a politician, you have to respond to the media. I believe every time they advise him to how to respond, he's defiant. And one big clue to my theory is his response or lack thereof on Afghanistan. Think about this. We came in that Sunday night, and I was just floored by the fact that we had not heard from the president. Then he had to come off a vacation. He walked up to the podium. He read something. He turned his back and walked away. That's when the back turning thing really started. And then that wasn't enough. People were like, we need more answers. We had too many Americans die. And so then finally he's pressured to sit down with Stephanopoulos. You know, that was the interview, by the way, when he said, when he had been saying all along that there's no threat of the Taliban taking over. And then he says in the interview, well, of course, the Taliban was always going to take over.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, these are the things where they can't guide him on how to respond. I firmly believe that. You would be very hard-pressed to get me to believe otherwise.
And the thing is, what they're now saying is our people were on the ground and everything was taken care of, and the people of East
Palestine and the mayor and the locals have said the exact opposite.
Exactly.
And it's like, you're not going to win this.
No, you're not going to win this.
And why won't you just go? And by the time he decides to go, it's the criticism will be there. Oh, he only showed up because of the political pressure,
right.
Just like Buttigieg. The only reason Buttigieg showed up, and then it was like his shoes.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was just bad upon bad, and you know I still saw a couple of things. Well, Trump only did it for a political move. Okay, it's all political. Let's just get that out of the way.
Everything's
but
political.
But Trump looked better. Right. Sorry, Trump looked better because he was there before they were, and then it looked like that Mayor Pete was just showing up, responding to Trump. That it was spin.
Yeah, exactly right.
Based on Trump showing up, not based on the political pressure. But it was, you couldn't handle the fact that after you yourself, Mayor Pete, blamed Trump for the whole thing, he's the one that shows up before you.
I know. It is the most bizarre politics. And that's why the media is going crazy. Because they sit there and they go, my God, Trump was there. Well, he only did it for politics. Well, yeah, but there's good politics and there's bad politics.
Right.
If you do something because you're concerned and you show up, well, that's good. If you decide not to show up and the public doesn't believe you're responding to them in any way and you don't show up, that's bad politics.
Yep.
Or when you lie about what the cause is by saying this will be the solution to the problem here and none of it has any to do with why the accident happened.
Right. Well,
and
look, you look at this situation and the media is not playing this Biden versus Trump game on the train derailment.
No, they're not. That's a great point. They're not.
And so what does that tell you? That tells you that and nobody can deny the fact that they botched the response and they did it at the very basic level because they don't care. And then even, I mean, honestly, you go a day or two and it's like, okay, the pressure's building. We got to get ahead of this. We got to put somebody, we got to put a number of somebodies on the ground, survey the area, address the locals, and do everything we can to make contact and also keep contact and maintain contact throughout the cleanup and throughout the investigation. But they didn't do it.
I can see this administration. Well, we're going to go to Ohio. We'll be near East Palestine.
Right. Yeah, like the border thing.
But we'll only get as close as Columbus.
Exactly.
I mean, for some dumb reason. I mean, they'll do, but it's just the Trump visit, though, is what has set off the media.
Because
it's like they look at it and
they know he came off looking better than the administration.
Yeah. And then going to Ukraine and promising them all the money and then ignoring it. And I've sent people.
Yeah.
It's terrible because it just amplifies that this administration cares about others before they care about Americans. And you take it across the board, the border, energy, this.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Hey, it's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. We'll play some of the audio coming up following the top of the hour, but Erin Brockovich getting involved in all of this. People may not, well, you may know her from the movie, but when she was involved in that case against Pacific Gas and Electric, that was it, I think, Hinckley, California, I believe the town was, that had contamination of groundwater from, I don't know exactly what the chemical was, and she was a whistleblower on that. But she actually said on Fox News on Friday, you know, you're not going to gaslight me, talking about the Biden administration.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that's why the media, by the time you got to Sunday morning, was horrified by all this, because now they're losing on corporations and environmentalism.
Right.
And Biden's like, oh, I'm not going to.
Right. Exactly.
This
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. Listen when and where you want if you can't listen live overnight. Yeah, so to make matters even worse, when you have Aaron Brockovich now involved in it, I mean, at this point you're talking pop culture, you're talking Julia Roberts.
Yeah, it doesn't get any bigger than Julia Roberts.
It doesn't, and she was on Fox News on Friday night, and this is just part of what she had to say.
You know, we're pushing a month now, and they still don't have any answers. It's very obvious something's really gone wrong out here. I've been out here down on the ground, and they're really frustrated why they don't feel that their agencies or their administration cares about what's happened to the community. So it is very apparent they are concerned and not being seen or heard.
At the end of the interview, she said, to the Biden administration, you're not going to gaslight me. Whoa. I mean, I'm just like, wow. And that's the problem that they still have. And that's not going away. And that's why we played some of the Sunday morning news shows. And the liberals are going crazy on this right now. Mm. And after Trump visiting and then Biden still coming back, and still over the weekend during the interview, you're going to go? And he just basically ignores the question and just talks about, well, we've had people on the ground since day two. He's arguing with, instead of going down there and saying, I'm listening to you, he's arguing with the people. He's arguing with Aaron Brockovich.
Look,
when you think about it, I mean, that's the debates going on between the, you know, the locals, Aaron Brockovich, because now that she's been brought into it, and Biden. And, and they keep saying, whoa, everything's been done. And the public's going, everything hasn't been done. And it's just, I mean, it's just turning into a zoo.
Well, you know, you have a, and I said it before, but honestly, you got to repeat this over and over again. You have a liberal administration that typically would jump on the opportunity to go after a corporation that is responsible for a massive chemical spill in a working class town. How is that not out of the liberal playbook? I mean, it's got to be in the first chapter. I don't have the playbook in front of me, but it's got to be in the first chapter where you jump on the corporation that you're going to say is responsible for the spill, and they're still refusing to go. This is, you and I were talking, you mentioned it last hour, but this is the liberal media's problem with all this. They're confounded as to why you're not. How is it that Mayor Pete wasn't out there as the first one?
Yeah.
How is it that, I mean, typically they would almost beat the NTSB.
And it's as simple. Big business, chemical spill.
Yep.
Environment.
Yep.
End of we own this, right? That's the first thing you say.
It's
we
their thing.
Own this politically.
Right.
And nothing. For weeks.
Nothing. For weeks. And Trump beat them there.
Yeah.
Boy. That's and the media's got to be looking at this going, how do they not see this?
Well, Terry Moran talked about it when he said, you know, they've got him on the cultural issues. Now they're gonna get us on the environment.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, and you know, Trump's visit, and then he had to throw in, you know, on the possibility that the Trump deregulation was a possible cause. Well, he was lying then.
Right.
He got to the point of that's how frustrated they are. They have to lie. They see the Republicans and Trump getting an advantage over the Biden administration because Buttigieg is incompetent and Biden's just stubborn. Well, we told him to go, and he's not going to go if you tell him to do something. Mr. President, you have to go. No, I'm not going to go.
Well,
I like what you said.
Yeah.
But you need to talk to the mayor. You need to call the mayor. He can call me.
He needs to be calling me, right. Jack. Yeah, no, but these are the things that you have to ask. And I do believe internally on responses to major things. They've confronted him, and he has been defiant. Don't you tell me how I've got to respond. And I think that's what's going on. Look, even if they came out and they didn't mention Trump, and I know that's laughable, but just imagine for a moment that they didn't mention Trump. You've got a major corporation and chemicals.
That's all you need. You don't need to, and a spill.
You know, I'm just talking about not how we think. I'm thinking about the people that live there and can't afford to move and are going to wonder for the rest of their lives whether their water and whether the soil and the ground in their yard is safe, whether it's safe to be out in the rain. Those are the things I'm concerned about. But politically, when you talk about a response, how is it not right out of the liberal playbook a chemical spill at the hands of a major corporation? You know, it was, who was it? Oh, it was Jake Tapper. And he had somebody on and he said, you know, we looked into their profits at Norfolk Southern and they made so much money, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, and they're pledging only this amount or whatever. You know, Jake Tapper was, I think this is where the liberal media is going, how are you guys not doing this?
Yeah.
How are you guys not jumping on this? And then accidentally along the way, you just happen to care about the people that are suffering as a side measure. You know, I mean, because you come in and you go, well, we're going to definitely take care of this. We're going to take care of the people because no company should come in and pollute the waters and these chemicals and blah. And you're just, you go on and on. In fact, you don't even leave. You have somebody every day mm-hmm. with a presser right there saying, this is what we're finding. The NTSB is investigating the accident, of course. The EPA is here, and more and more we look at this, and this is a tragedy that is going to hurt this community, blah, 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 chemicals, blah, 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 big corporation, blah, blah, blah. How are they not doing that?
Well, and there's no self-awareness because you juxtapose that with the fact of going to Ukraine and then promising the Ukrainians all, you know, the money.
Right.
And then American, you know, here the mayor, when the mayor said that, you're like, you're not, there wasn't a response 10 minutes later to that.
Right.
First thing I'm doing when I come back from Ukraine is I will be visiting the people and let them know that, you know, everything is under control and Pete Buttigieg will be out there today.
Yes. Right. I mean,
But the fact is they were lost because they never mentioned it for 2 weeks.
Well, that's the whole thing. Once you've gone that long, you probably... 1, 2, maybe 3 days, you probably could have still gotten ahead of it, maybe. But 2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah. And really, 2 weeks. And then the reason was you were forced to, because when Buttigieg did that, the statement on infrastructure and then was talking about, you know, he really didn't know what he was talking about. Talked about, you know, implying that there's too many whites on construction sites.
Right, yeah.
And then was it Wall Street Journal or National Review that did the crunch the numbers and said, actually, if you were going to be intellectually honest, what you would be saying is we have too many Hispanics and illegal immigrants on construction sites to a great, you know, Hispanics to a greater number than their population because whites are actually underrepresented as a part of their population. So that was the whoever came up with that headline that what does Pete Buttigieg have against Hispanics?
I mean,
but the fact is when he brought that up and he was talking about that and people like, what about East Palestine? Nothing.
And you know, here's the thing. Look, there were so many unknowns with this. The controlled burn. They had no experience, no game plan for cleaning up a mess like this. My point is that it's still very much an unknown as to how long this could affect this community. How do you not care about that? In a position of power to do something about that, or at the very least, demonstrate and lead the way so that everybody's focus is on it, so that everybody there on the ground knows, everybody having to deal with it every single day knows that something is going to be done because the people with the greatest influence have put the spotlight on it.
And then it gets to be too late for Biden if he visits, let's say he visits this week, and then Trump will be all over it, you know, and Republicans will be all over it. Oh, great, the president, and even liberal media, great, the president goes out there a week after Trump.
Right, exactly.
Trump was out there a week before the president. Oh, a month afterwards, because we're past 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
A month later, the president comes out.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's amazing. I go back to Obama. You can never underestimate Joe's ability to F things up.
Right. No, I mean, that's it.
Because this is simple.
Look, it is simple. But you ain't going to tell Joe Biden how to respond. It is just a theory. I have no proof, but you're going to have to work to convince me otherwise. Internally, they're trying to guide him on responses to major things, and he's telling them, I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
I ain't doing that. And every time he comes out and he says, well, they tell me this, and they tell me that, and they tell me. It's like, you know, these are the things, of, like on the documents. He actually said, God willing, one day I will be able to talk about it. Oh, he's eager to talk about it. He's going to talk the way he talks about it. They've told him, his lawyers, personal lawyers, have told him he can't do that. These are the things that you put the puzzle together, and it's very clear to me that he doesn't care. He's never known how to govern because he had zero experience. He didn't learn. He's not willing to learn because you can't tell him, Jack, and you certainly can't tell him how he's going to respond.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
For a clean, comfortable room, more cozy than your cab, Motel 6 will leave the light on for all of our truckers on the road.
Eric Harley here from my friends at Valley Chrome Plating. Drivers, are you looking to outshine everyone rolling down the road? Head to Valley Chrome Plating, your one-stop shop.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So many audio cuts tonight. I want to play this one. I just discovered this one. I hadn't seen this one before. And this was Jim Acosta talking to Massachusetts Democrat and Armed Services Committee member, Representative Seth Moulton, about the Energy Department. And their intelligence analysis that the that COVID came from a lab leak. Now, you tell me if this is how the Democrats have been responding to the lab leak theory over the last couple of years. Here we go.
There's this updated classified intelligence report that says the U.S. Department of Energy has assessed that the source of the COVID-19 pandemic likely came from a lab leak in China. Very notable here, sources at the Department of Energy tell CNN that the report has, quote, low confidence. What's your reaction to that? It's in the news today. Wanted to ask you about it.
I mean, look, I'm not entirely surprised. The Chinese have mishandled COVID at every step of the way, trying to sweep it under the rug, trying to try a strategy of zero COVID that utterly failed. And tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Chinese are dead as a result of the mismanagement of this the pandemic by the Chinese Communist Party. So,
is that the way Democrats have been answering?
No.
This is the new narrative, as if everything that's happened over the last couple of years never happened. Just move on to the new narrative.
Right. Yeah, just pretend everything up until now didn't exist. In terms of their response, and that's it. I mean, oh, well, no surprise. The Chinese mishandled that. Well, if you had said that back when, you know, you had Tom Cotton and others talking about it, you would have been called a racist.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you blame this on the Chinese? I mean, it really is. We can just, this isn't a pivot. They've just jumped from one planet to the other.
I got to check this out. The headline, Chuck Todd and GOP senator agree U.S. should hold public hearings on possible lab leak cover-up. I just saw that headline. See if I can find the audio for that one.
Well, I mean, you know.
It's like, okay, we just need to. What? We were always for funding the police.
Oh, yeah. We never said defund the police.
I don't know anyone who's for defunding the police. Where did that come from?
I don't even know anybody who's against voter ID. Warnock in Georgia. I don't. What? Climate change? Nobody believes in climate change. What are you talking about?
Oh, lab leak theory? Plausible. China was covering up. They were screwing up completely. That's been the Democrat narrative over the last couple of years, hasn't it?
The new report on the grid? No. We've always been drill, baby, drill. What are you talking about? Why is the GOP pushing wind and solar? What's wrong with them?
Just change up.
No, I mean, you just start talking as if it never happened.
This is the old George Costanza quitting his job.
Yeah. What? I didn't quit. I don't know.
And the fact that actually happened to Larry David.
Yeah.
He actually quit Saturday Night Live.
Right.
When he
didn't
quit.
Right. And then showed up and what? What? No, that was me. No, that was a joke.
Yeah, I really didn't.
Yeah. Oh. No, I wasn't being serious. What are you talking about? No.
Oh, no. What do you mean when you called me a complete moron? What? And you took that seriously?
Right.
To his boss.
Exactly.
What? No, just having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, come on. But what else do you do? I mean, you can't come out and say, well, we were clearly wrong about this the whole time.
Right.
And we should have been discussing this the whole time. This should have been a true priority the whole time. No. We always knew the China. Look, it is the same thing of what I talked about earlier. The botched exit of Afghanistan, where the president kept telling people, no, the Taliban's not going to take over as we withdraw from Afghanistan. And then a week after we withdraw, well, of course the Taliban, they were always going to take over. It's
just pretend,
exactly yeah. what happened.
I know.
That's how that whole thing went down. So now, this doesn't surprise me at all. The Chinese have always held everything close to the vest. They've acted irresponsibly. Yeah, but we're talking about our public servants here and our taxpayer dollars going into all this?
Because the next question is going to be for Corinne Jean-Pierre. Corinne Jean.
Well, she doesn't do that.
I don't even know where that Freudian slip was going. I can't even explain the Freudian slip. That's the first thing I thought of when I said that. I went, uh-oh, did I say something completely... Oh, no, repair, I said. Oh, okay. That's actually pretty funny.
Is what she should be doing is repairing, yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Will they... You just wonder what the defense will be because you're going to have questions to... Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like repair. Mm-hmm. But it's never, she's never repairing anything. But the question is going to be, is the president going to push China? That's the next question.
Right. Exactly.
To allow an investigation into the lab.
Right.
Gary McNamara, and Eric Harley taking your calls. 1-866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Some other stories out there that I found interesting. South Carolina State Senator Stephen Goldfinch has proposed a bill dubbed the Yankee Tax that would require new residents to pay up to $500 to move to South Carolina. Sort of the opposite of what California is doing. Where California, you know, it's like the billionaire's tax, which will tax you years after you have lived in California. South Carolina, this state senator wishes to put forth the Yankee Tax. If passed by state referendum, new residents moving from out of state to South Carolina would be required to pay two one-time fees, $250 for a new driver's license, and $250 for vehicle registrations. Goldfinch told Fox News Digital that the proposal is not trying to stop people from coming from out of state, just for new residents to catch up with the rest of us. Not trying to build a wall, and this is not a fee against new residents. It's a fee for people to catch up. The money raised will go towards the state's infrastructure, including roads, bridges, and common community spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a rational basis. There is a rational basis for requiring newcomers to catch up with the rest of us and contribute to roads, bridges, schools, and green spaces that we residents have contributed to.
Hmm.
His proposal comes after droves of people from the Northeast have moved to South Carolina in recent years. According to the U.S. Census data, nearly 500,000 people moved to South Carolina in the past decade. Oh, that's what moves to Texas, what, in a year?
Yeah, right.
They don't say whether he is a Democrat or Republican.
Hmm.
Why?
Hmm. Right.
I just thought of that right now. I went, wait a minute. He is
so a total of $500 in one-time fees.
Yes, for your driver's license and vehicle registration.
Right. You
pay it for that.
Yeah. What I'm wondering is how that compares in terms of, well, you know, driver's license may be, the fee may be low in all states, but how does it compare with vehicle registration in some states is outrageous. And I wonder how it compares, and some people might move there and go, okay.
He's a Republican.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Wonder how that compares to other states. I don't know what their vehicle registration cost is annually. That would be another question. But if someone's moving in, like, from a blue state where vehicle registration is through the roof, you know, every year, they may look at that and go, okay, fine. Even the additional $250 for the driver license change might be worth it.
I'm looking here for New York.
Yeah.
Fees for your vehicle plates, $25. Your title certificate, $50.
Mm.
So, because I'm just thinking of New York.
Yeah.
Registration fee charged for passenger vehicles all depends on weight.
Okay.
So, vehicle that is 3,000 pounds, $47.
Okay.
So, no, actually, it's $47.
Right. In Colorado.
And that's a two-year fee.
Okay. In Colorado, it used to be pretty high on newer vehicles. And it was based on the value. I don't know if they've changed that or not. And that was the complaint. The complaint was, well, it encourages you to drive a junker. So you have a lot of people driving much older vehicles. because it's based on the approximate value of the vehicle at the time every year.
Ooh. Hmm. How much does it cost to renew your license plate registration in California? Registration fee is $46. California Highway Patrol fee is $23. Vehicle license fee, 0.65% of your vehicle's value.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a number of states that do it based on the value. Right. Every year. Yeah. Colorado used to be the same. I don't know what the rate is, but it used to be the same, and it was based on the value. And the complaint by locals was that, well, it encourages to, you know, everybody basically buys an old beater because they don't want to, you know, pay the fee every year of a new vehicle. So it might be, comparatively, it might be a bargain.
Okay, so if your vehicle is worth $30,000, mm-hmm. it's $195.
Yeah. Okay, that's
so $195 plus yeah. $46 plus $23.
There you go.
So I don't know what it, I don't know what it normally is for South Carolina,
and that would be every year. And this is a $250 fee one time based on the registration, and $250 for driver's license.
Right.
Yeah. So for some moving out of some states, it might be, oh, okay, long term, it's still going to save me money. Now, on cost of living, it's likely going to save you money anyway.
I was wondering how they were going to do it, because just to charge a fee for people coming in mm-hmm. might be viewed as unconstitutional. It's like the, I believe that you're going to find a ton of things unconstitutional if California ever does the, you know, what they wish to do with the wealth billionaires tax.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you're just charging it for new renewals from out of state, you probably can get away with it.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I think so. Constitutionally, I think you can. Politically, right. I don't know, but yeah.
Yeah, 'cause what you're charging them is just extra for a fee. It's a fee, not a tax.
And they can charge the fees. Again, politically, it will, I guess we'll see if that were ever to be implemented. But yeah, I think it would pass constitutional muster.
My favorite, well, I've got a couple of favorite stories for today.
Okay.
But an Ohio pizzeria sign advertising that they are hiring non-stupid people has fired up the internet.
Oh.
And reportedly led to someone phoning in a phony order.
Oh.
Santino's Pizzeria in Columbus has drawn support and condemnation for unfurling a banner outside their establishment that reads, "Now hiring non-stupid people." A customer who was apparently offended by the sign recently phoned in a $100 pizza order and never picked it up, according to the outlet.
Uh-huh.
But you'd only be offended if you were stupid, right?
I would think so.
If you're non-stupid, you wouldn't be offended.
Right.
Who are the offended people by that?
Well, and also here's my question. You took a $100 order and didn't take prepayment? Was that smart?
A lot of places do that when you order by phone still.
A $100 order?
Well, that's two pizzas, large pizzas.
Two large? No.
Two party pizzas in places? Yeah, maybe not in Texas.
$50 a pie? Is that what you're saying?
If you buy one of the big pies, the big square pies. A friend of mine did it a couple of weeks ago in Buffalo. It was $48 for a party pizza.
A party pizza? What is a party pizza?
It's an extra large pizza.
Hmm.
You know, so my point is it doesn't take a lot. Where was it where I was seeing that, they were going crazy because someplace somewhere would start charging for a roast beef sandwich $10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so food costs have gone up. Yeah, $48 for a large
pizza. Yeah, I've never seen a pizza that costly, but you wouldn't. It's a $100 order and you're not going to at least take a credit card for that order?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a smart idea. I bet they changed that policy immediately. And you know why they changed the policy? Because it wasn't smart.
Okay, I laughed and I laughed. I did laugh at it, and I get it, said a patron who spoke as she was picking up her food. I get where they're coming from, but I don't think it was a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I understand where they're coming from because you want someone working there who's going to be who's going to comprehend taking orders or service, but it can be offensive. But I'm here. Responses to a Facebook post on the sign have skewed positive, with many users saying they find the sign humorous. It's more humor than anything. It wasn't meant to target anyone like that or be rude, said the pizzeria owner's daughter.
It's not rude to smart people.
Yeah, they said the family put out the sign because they have found it difficult to find competent employees. A lot of people we've hired just don't want to work. I want to say this, though. There are a lot of smart, lazy people, though.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
We don't wish to be discriminatory. Laziness is not necessarily an indication of intelligence.
Yeah, it should be non-lazy people.
Yes. There is no work ethic behind a lot of the people we hire, so that's the meaning of being behind the non-stupid. Well, What you should have said is we don't want to hire lazy people.
Right. Exactly. Lazy people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why.
Well, you look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you'll do. Then I took off my hat and said, imagine that. Me working for you. Oh, my God.
Signs. Everywhere there's signs.
Blocking at the scenery. Breaking my mind.
Do this, don't do that.
Can't you read the signs?
Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
And the five-man electrical band from Canada.
Yes. Tesla, the band Tesla out of Texas actually had a cover of it.
Oh, did they do that? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Their album, Five Man Acoustical Jam. True story.
It's beautiful.
Yep. I think it was back during the MTV Unplugged days thing. Yeah. And they did an acoustic version. Very good version. Pretty true to the first one, to the original.
Trying to think of what hits. They have any other hits?
Tesla?
No. Five-man electrical band.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, I remember it. Absolutely right. I was absolutely right, and you were wrong. It wasn't as big of a hit as Signs. Nothing compared to Signs.
Mm.
That was a huge monster song.
Yeah.
When it came out.
Right.
And they played that thing 1970 over and over and over. But it was a great song, though.
Yeah. Well, Tesla got a ton of airplay for it. Yeah.
866-90 Red Eye.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90 Red Eye.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Good comment. Were you guys doing the lyrics to Five Man Electrical Band Signs
Why not?
On the air? Where did that come from?
Why not? Hard to believe the remake of that was over 30 years ago.
I know.
I mean, it's just crazy.
I know.
Yeah.
Time flies. Yeah, it's flying too fast. I don't like it at all. Because...
No, I was thinking of something the other day, and I said, you know.
I still feel 18.
No, I was thinking of something the other day, and it was like, you know, I'm going to start doing that in practice. And then that part is already passed. Yeah. Nope. No need in trying that. I mean, it was really one of those thoughts where, you know, if I just do this and I do that and apply it to this, man, no, doesn't work that way at this age.
Maybe you can teach
that to a youngster.
Your mind may be young and still may be quick, but you're...
Well, you know,
your body just
there's always room for improvement, as my wife always says. It's, you know, but it was one of those thoughts where it was like, you know, if you do that for a number of years, that's the whole point. You have to have that number of years ahead of you in order to do that. Okay, well, maybe we just walk before we run.
If I retire at 75, I really want to work on becoming a concert pianist.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, you don't have the years.
I can go to medical school, and I think I'll just go to CBS.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the world, we are Red Eye Radio. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. If you can't listen live overnight, you can listen when and where you want. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Elon Musk is attacked over the weekend by who? Ralph Nader.
Oh.
Yes. He has called Elon Musk a welfare king.
Oh.
Over the weekend. This is just great because I saw the Twitter war begin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great watching it over the weekend. And he said, Musk started Tesla with a huge U.S. government welfare grant. He has taken taxpayers to the cleaners for his factories and for Starlink. He is a gigantic corporate welfare king masquerading as a capitalist businessman. From Ralph Nader. Now, last time I saw Nader, I was in my first year in college. So this had to be it was the spring of 74.
Mm.
And he was speaking at the gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
So I went. The only thing I remember getting out of that was Nixon Exxon.
Oh. And since he was in the gym, push-ups are dangerous.
Those bleachers are dangerous.
It's a hazard.
Now, Musk went back, and this is where Nader needs to be more specific, because he wrote back, Ralph Nader, you are lying. Shame on you.
Hmm.
He said, I personally provided almost all Tesla funding based on my proceeds from PayPal from Series A in 2004 until Series C in 2007. Series A and Series C are terms to describe the startup funding rounds. These, according to thestreet.com, these funding rounds allow startups to raise capital they need to establish themselves and grow. In late 2008, I gave Tesla the last money I had. It was that or the company would have died. We closed the funding around 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve. If we had not closed that round, Tesla would have gone bankrupt 2 days later after Christmas. I gave my last money thinking Tesla would probably die and not thinking that it would be lucrative. The first meaningful government funding Tesla received was in Q2 of 2010 from a loan under the Vehicle Efficiency Lending Program. Tesla paid back that loan early with interest. And he said taxpayers actually made a profit on that. And then they point out, they say, well, nobody's really talking about and got into the $7,500 in federal tax credits given to consumers buying an electric vehicle. If those tax credits hadn't existed for the last decade, Tesla would not be in business.
Right.
So they didn't bring it up. He's because the danger was Nader put up. You were basically founded by a government grant. He's saying, no, we weren't.
Mm.
And when you look, for example, it would be interesting to see. I was just looking for the heck of it because the Tesla plant for solar panels, I have no idea how it's doing, but the state of New York paid almost $1 billion, according to WGRZ TV in Buffalo, close to $1 billion for the plant, charging Tesla $1 of rent a year. That's the kind of subsidies on the solar panels that he has got. And when you see, I just went to the Tesla website and they, you know, they talk about the federal incentives for vehicles. And then you go back to the states and see what states give it. But the $7,500 is still there. Solar and Powerwall residential federal investment tax credits, 26% in 21, 30% in 2022. 30% in 2023. Standalone Powerwall residential federal investment tax credit, 0% until 2023 when it goes to 30%, 26%, 22%. That's all the way through 2034. Then they talk about state and local and utility incentives, and you can look for that. But the solar panels and Tesla, if it wasn't for government subsidies, Nader may have had it wrong in the very beginning where they got their funding from, but the fact is they would not be alive today if it wasn't for government subsidies.
Yeah, they wouldn't have turned that. They wouldn't have had a profit, any profit.
Yes. So that may go back and forth, but there's no way they would. They didn't. Are they making it? If they didn't have the tax credit, would they be making money on their cars?
Well, and you know, you.
And paying, for example, full price. We're not talking about, you know, you had a lot, you know, you've never had the type of subsidies that exist for, and we're not talking tax breaks. We're talking subsidies. We're talking direct cash. Mm-hmm. We're talking about factories being built for you and charging you $1 a year.
Right. Right. Well, and then you extrapolate it out to the viability of the EV market going forward.
Yeah.
Right now, they're struggling. And so the question becomes, all right, then look at the strain on the grid. Look at what it takes to mine the materials. This pipe dream is just that. It's a pipe dream. And over and over and over again, we're getting more proof of that. Look. You can get into, you can talk the numbers all day long, but one of the problems, one of the headwinds they face right now, one of the biggest, is the growing number of environmentalists who are saying, no, EVs aren't green. You can't sustain it. Net zero is not zero.
You know, that's something that we talk about in 5 years because that's growing all the time. I now see it much, much more often that EVs are not green and nobody is fighting it.
Right, right. No, I mean...
You don't really see, you know, the manufacturers might, mm-hmm. but the environmentalists aren't.
No, no.
You know, you and I remember how fast they turned on ethanol. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I think Bush, it was in December where he signed the Democrat bill.
Right, yeah.
And we said he was wrong to do that. And by March of the next year, which would have been, because he signed it in 2007, December 2007,
mm-hmm.
the ethanol bill. And then by March of 2008, the environmental group said, oops.
Yeah.
And then by the time we got to 2010 mm-hmm. was when
Al Gore.
You finally had Al Gore come on and say, admit that he lied about ethanol in order to, you know, get support of the farmers.
Said he was trying to win over the farmers to get elected.
You know, and that was, we had talked about, you know, just briefly about Jimmy Carter and wishing his family well and all that. I really don't like when somebody's in, a family's in this situation to talk about it. But just to respond, some number of people that I know have posted, well, you know, something that Carter didn't believe in lobby groups and things like that. Yeah, he did. He believed in the ethanol lobby. Mm-hmm. You and I both know that. We dealt mm-hmm. with that with the Carter administration. They wanted to help us way a long time ago, you know, help support it. And so,
yeah, they wanted, well, they asked us to be a part of an event, and
yeah, we told them
we turned it down because we're clearly not what they were looking for.
Yeah, I mean, there's this thing to, you know, and again, I think that, you know, that you can look after his presidency and the things that he did, and he's a very humble guy. It doesn't mean that he didn't back things that were obviously liberal
mm-hmm.
and things that didn't do, and you promoted government money and taxpayer dollars
mm-hmm.
to big ethanol,
mm-hmm.
which if you're going to criticize oil and natural gas, got to criticize ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do it. So let's not play this game that, you know, he was pure as could be and never supported any type of lobbies whatsoever because he said he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes back to the old REM concert mm-hmm. that eventually got REM to send a cease and desist letter from playing their music. We didn't even know we were playing their music on the show in a bumper a long time ago where they were against all lobbies, and they put out a book at the concert against all lobbies and all these, and in it was all the lobby groups that they support, which were all on the left. So they weren't against lobbies. They were against right-wing lobbies, but not against left-wing. We told the story on the air, and we don't know which member of REM hurt us and
mm-hmm.
was angry about that and apparently wanted to cease and desist. And we said, what?
Yeah.
We were playing. Now, at the time, you know, when that happened, we were playing the fees,
mm-hmm.
you know, so we could have continued playing it, but we said, no, we're not. You don't want us to play your music, we won't play it.
Yeah, that's fine.
So
I don't care.
But yeah, so I just wanted to mention that. But coming up, because this all relates to it, the warnings keep coming that the force-fed energy transition to renewable fuels is destabilizing the U.S. electric grid. Another SOS came Friday in a report from PJM Interconnection, one of the nation's largest grid operators. They, and just listen to the way they put this. The PJM report forecast power supply and demand through 2030 across 13 eastern states in its territory covering 65 million people. Its top conclusion, fossil fuel power plants are retiring much faster than renewable sources are getting deployed, which could lead to energy imbalances. And as the Wall Street Journal writes, that's a delicate way of saying that you can expect shortages and blackouts.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it's going to go.
Yep. And the people are going to be screaming when it happens, and conservatives will be saying, we've been telling you for 25 years, and the public has not paid attention, and politicians have not paid attention to the reality of the situation.
And by that time, tell me what you do about it. If you don't have the backup in place, which would mean that that backup would have to be able to run and provide 100% of the energy required when you couldn't get wind and solar, if you don't have that in place, tell me what would you do? How do you remedy that problem if it's already shut down?
And we'll tell you what the problem is specifically that PGM talks about coming up. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tires command a lot of attention. As a top expense for drivers and a leading cause of CSA violations, any tire maintenance practice that can help extend tire life is worth consideration. Consider tire balancing, which can set you up for savings and a smoother ride before your tires touch the highway. Tire balancing corrects an uneven distribution of weight in tires and wheel assemblies and offers benefits like improved fuel economy, increased tire life, and reduced vibration. Unusual shaking in the seat, cab, or steering wheel is a warning sign your tires might need to be balanced. Tires command a lot of attention. As a top expense for drivers and a leading cause of CSA violations, any tire maintenance practice that can help extend tire life is worth consideration.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Look what's in this report about PJM, the group PJM Interconnection, one of the nation's largest grid operators on the East Coast, said, for example, PJM typically generates a surplus of power owing to its large fossil fuel fleet, which exports to its neighboring grids in the Midwest and Northeast. When wind power plunged in the Midwest and central states late last week, the real cold weather, PJM helped fill the gap between supply and demand and kept the lights on. That's why it's especially worrisome that PJM is predicting a large decline in its power reserves as coal and natural gas plants retire. The report forecasts that 40,000 megawatts of power generation, enough to light up 30 million households, are at risk of retiring by 2030, representing about 21% of PJM's current generation capacity. Most projected power plant retirements are policy-driven, the report says, which means what? Climate change. For example, the steep cost of complying with the EPA, including a proposed good neighbor rule that is expected to be finalized next month, will force about 10,500 megawatts of fossil fuel generation to shut down. At the same time, utility company ESG, Environmental, Social, and Governance, commitments are driving coal plants to close. Illinois, New Jersey climate policies could reduce generation by 8,900 megawatts. Do these states plan to rely on their good neighbors for power? Many states have established ambitious renewable goals, and the Inflation Reduction Act lavishes enormous subsidies on wind, solar, and batteries. But the report says now this is very important to pay attention to. The report says the historical rate of completion of renewable projects has been approximately 5%. In part because permitting challenges. In an optimistic case, the report estimates 21,000 megawatts of wind, solar, and battery storage capacity will be added by the grid by 2030. That, at the most optimistic point, about half as much as is needed. And so we're shutting down and closing down these plants now, knowing we're not going to be able to hit the capacity we need by 2030, 2035.
Yep. And there won't be anything you can do about blackouts.
And there's another problem. Demand for electric power will increase amid the growth in data centers and the government push for the electrification of vehicles, heating, and everything else.
Well, it's, you know, the demand is driven by what? Regulation. When you talk about the EV mandate for 2035 in California on new car sales, when you talk about the buildings in certain cities can only be heated from electric power, no natural gas anymore, then what do you think that's going to do to the grid?
The left's green energy transition is incompatible with the growing economy and improving living standards. Renewables do not provide reliable power 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and a progressive campaign to shut coal and gas plants will invariably result in outages. It'll be complete chaos. It's amazing that we as a nation are allowing this to happen and permitting this to happen.
Yep.
Under the delusional belief that the impossible can work,
yeah,
because we have good feelings.
Right. We're doing the right thing. When you're sitting there in the dark or you're sitting there with no heat in the winter and nothing can be done about it. You saw in the UK, they're looking at banning wood-burning stoves. Because, of course, that's what's next. Mm-hmm. no more burning anything that we, and natural gas. Who was it last? I think it was on Friday. Biden still wants to go for natural gas stoves. He still wants to go at it. They're going to lay off it for now, but they believe he's going to come back around on that, maybe in his second term, if he gets one.
Giving you 70% each night, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
That's what the grid operators will be giving you in 10 years. 70%.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE. And then I saw this story yesterday. Apple iPhone users were stirred up on Sunday as they became aware of a somewhat new feature intended to reduce the carbon footprint by charging only when lower carbon emission electricity is available. Apple introduced clean energy charging with its release of iOS 16.1 on October 24th. The company claims that when the mode is enabled and a phone is connected to a charger, the iPhone gets a report of carbon emissions generated by the local energy grid and uses that information to determine when to charge your phone.
Mm.
Oh my God, you know where this is going. If you noticed your iPhone is charging, this is where I saw it from the chief nerd on Twitter. Mm. If you noticed your iPhone is charging a little slower recently, it may be due to a new setting Apple added, clean energy charging. When it is turned on, it will only recharge the iPhone's battery when the electrical grid uses cleaner energy sources like solar and wind. One Twitter user raised a red flag to other users that if they notice their iPhones were charging a little slower, it could be because the clean energy charging. Some of the users who tweeted about the new features wanted to find a way to turn it off.
Well, yeah, because they say when turned on, my question is it default? Is it a default that you have to go in and turn it off? Is it turned on by default?
Yeah, that's a great point. Is that a default setting? Yeah. Wow. Just leave me alone. When I plug it in, I want to charge it. That's how you know I want to charge it.
Well,
when
you know,
I plug it in.
If someone wants to behave in that way, aren't they already in a position, whoever owns that phone? Aren't they already in a position, you know, outside of traveling or at the office? If they're at home, they're already purchasing clean energy, right? So the point is that they're probably already in that mode.
Still other users, this is my favorite sentence of the whole article, still other users said that when they finally turned the feature off, Apple shamed them by saying the feature helps reduce the carbon footprint.
Oh, so you get a prompt. Are you sure you want to turn it off and kill the planet?
Wow. Apple shamed them by saying the feature helps reduce the carbon footprint or the battery chemically ages when deactivated.
So here's a question.
Oh.
Did they design the battery to chemically age if you don't use the feature? Is that by design?
Currently, Apple says the mode is available in the U.S. and set to the on position by default.
There you go. There's the answer.
And then you get the shaming notices.
Well, but I think on the battery, are you saying that you designed a battery to degrade if I don't use this feature?
Yeah. Now they haven't. I don't see a response to that from Apple.
I would really wonder about that technology. But actually, no, because if the battery wouldn't necessarily be detecting whether or not you're getting clean energy as a charging source. The battery would be detecting whether or not you have that feature on. That's all you need the battery to detect if you design the battery to degrade, as they mentioned here.
Apple says the feature does not engage when charging habits vary or if you travel, so it's connected to your GPS. Mm. It knows when you're home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which isn't new.
No, I just, but. And soon?
Is it VPN proof?
It will. Ooh. Oh, don't know.
A lot of providers right now are looking at, you know, VPN proofing your, you know, their, whatever they're offering, app or whatever. And I wonder if this is VPN proof. Or do you just shut off your GPS and it doesn't know? That's the question. Exactly what can it detect? My question, really, my biggest question here, my biggest concern would be about the design of the battery. Did they intently design a battery that would degrade faster if not using this feature?
Yeah, I don't know. That was just some person on Twitter wrote mm-hmm. that. I haven't seen that anywhere else from any mm-hmm. legitimate organization at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
Please don't confuse clean energy charging with optimized battery charging. If you'd like to learn more about the latter, feel free to pursue our dedicated tutorial, which dives into optimized battery charging. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell, optimized battery charging has been designed to prevent overstressing the battery by learning from your charging routine to charge past 80%, which is one of the ways to maintain your phone's battery health.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so... Yeah, so they tell you how to turn it off and everything else, but it is there in, and nowhere does it say that your battery degrades if you don't use it.
That's a claim being made.
That was a Twitter claim. Yeah, mm-hmm. Somebody claimed that on Twitter. But
yeah, I'd love to know the answer to that question then.
I haven't seen anybody who would be viewed as legitimate, you know, mm-hmm. Electricity engineering-wise mm-hmm. that has made that case. But we all know it's like you're... your smart meter.
Well,
eventually we know where the smart meter, the smart thermostats, we eventually know where that's going.
Well, here's the thing. You
where they want it to go.
If you're the maker of the hardware, there is this, even if it's not mandated, there is this call for them to commit to having more sustainable markets. Or more sustainable items in the marketplace, more sustainable offerings, right? Mm-hmm. One of the problems that they have had, and I think it's hit them recently, in recent months especially, is the cobalt mines.
Yeah.
Because that's not just about EVs. That's about your cell phones too and how we power electronics. Well, everybody has a cell phone. And when you look at that, again, that demand, then that's going to change the way that these companies are going to do things. They're going to say, well, see what we did here to lessen our carbon footprint is we designed a battery and phone to act this way. That's the whole idea. That it's part of their corporate agenda so that they can attract more like-minded customers to participate at that level. Well, this is why I love Apple. This is why I always will be an Apple customer. This is why, you know, that's, there are a lot of people that are absolutely, Now, those same people, if you tell them you need to let your phone die for about 24 hours once or twice a week in order to help the planet, they're going to start crying. So it's one of these delicate balances that you have to play. Now, here's the thing. You purchase that phone. That doesn't belong to Apple. It belongs to you. That's your device. And if they're going to make changes like that and people believe, that's a little too creepy, that's a little too far for me to, you know, to invest whatever it is, $1,200 on the new iPhone every couple of years. No. You know, one of the things, the technology has really hit a plateau, and everybody's wondering, all right, what's the next new innovation that will really drive it? I mean, the really drive an uptick in demand for smartphones in general. And right now it's about camera technology and everything else and, you know, capacity, because now the apps require so much in capacity. You're just going to have a lot more capacity on your phone. Well, those offerings are there, but does that make the emotional play, right? Does that drive the emotional, oh my gosh, I've got to have this? Well, you haven't seen anything in the last few years that really did that. Not that they don't make improvements, but they've got to make an improvement that really goes to the point of, oh my gosh, if I don't have this now, if I don't get this now, then everything is going to be bricked. You know, everything that I have, it's so dated, it'll be obvious that it's dated. With the exception of the rollout of 5G, which is basically, you know, now, I don't know any provider that hasn't rolled out
5G. Right. Well, I mean, you and I have been talking about with our phones that, you know, we're Samsung, Android, and looking at the new, what is it, S23, and I'm looking at the S23 Ultra because I love the stylus. I do everything. I do 99% of my work on my phone. And so they've got the 5,000 milliamp battery. And when you sit there and you think, okay, who wants to buy the, who's looking to buy, what is it? And I've got a Galaxy Note 9, which is like from 1847.
It still has it works off a dial-up modem. I can't even tell you how that works.
Yes.
And it's a rotary dial.
But I mean, I love the Note. I mean, I love the stylus because I'm very comfortable doing work, and even having a little larger screen now will actually be better for me. But what I'm looking for is the big battery capacity, the extra storage in there now, because I think they come standard at what, 256?
I think that's where it starts now. Yeah.
It's where it starts to buy it. And the 5G.
Right.
You know, so that's what I'm looking at. Who isn't looking, and they're constantly talking about bigger batteries. Who's looking, who actually has a smartphone that is looking to reduce the time, or excuse me, to extend the time it takes to charge if it's not clean energy?
Right. Right. No, that's it. And that's the ultimate question.
That was your premise.
That's the ultimate question. Where's the demand where people are saying, no, I'm okay with it charging a lot slower for the sake of the planet? That's my whole point of, you know, there are people out there that tell their friends, oh, you know what it does? You know what it does? You know what it does? And they get home and it's not charging. They wake up in the morning and it's only half charged or whatever. It's not charging as fast as they wanted to charge. What's been the in terms of charging, what has been the trend now for what, at least a decade?
Fast
charging.
Right.
They designed
and no hassle. And just lay it down.
They designed the batteries more and more for faster and faster charging.
And you can charge without having to connect the cable to it. The charging stations.
Yep.
You know, everybody, they even have it at the airport. They have places where, you know, they have the chart, you just set the phone down.
Yep.
So everything is convenient.
I was at a restaurant that had it right there on the table, integrated right there in the table. Just set your phone on the table. It starts charging. And that's the demand, not, oh, no, I want a slower charge for the sake of the planet.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. And then we see that the inflation, what do they call it, expenses, what's that inflation number called? That's the determination of how much more people are spending.
The consumer spending?
The report that came out on Friday.
Oh, I'll get it here in just a second. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. I'm looking at, in fact, what is set for today.
We'll get that coming up following the top of the hour. But yeah, it's not good.
Right.
It's not good where it stands.
Well, it reflects exactly what major retailers were talking about, including Walmart. Walmart projected that this year was not going to be the same in spending from its customer base. And so Friday's report was indicative of that for January.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord! We get it! They have chemistry!
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.